Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Boundless benevolence to all beings, boundless compassion to all beings, boundless appreciative joy to all beings, boundless equanimity to all beings, including ourselves. Good morning, and welcome to another recording for this series from the Parinyana monks. And I'd just like to talk about attitude today, that the way that we look at things is very important, because sometimes when we rush or when we hurry or have anxiety, then that goes into our bodily posture, that goes into how we act and think. And so, a part of the Buddhist path, a part of meditation and cultivating the mind, is learning to come back into present. So, being present, having presence with good qualities here, right now. And then, as the mind starts to slow down and settle, then it can start relinquishing the hindrances of the heart and actually live in the present moment. There's a tendency for the mind to always want to think about the past, to think about the future, to imagine this, imagine that. So, as we learn sense restraint and virtue, this starts to give power to the mind, power to how the mind settles. First, the mind wanted to go out here and grab this, and the mind wants to go out there and push that away. And the mind's ignorant of the things, the causes that bring us into the present moment. So, it's learning to let go of the things that we're always wanting, and learning to have kindness and benevolence to those things that we're pushing away, and learning to have insight and understanding of the causes that bring goodness into our lives. And so, as we learn this Buddhist path, for lay people, it starts with generosity. So, learning to give up the stain of miserliness, and then being one who just has a heart that says, give, give. So, at every opportunity, to poor people, to religious people, like monks and nuns of different traditions, they offer food and requisites and support these beings. And then learning to associate with the wise, finding the tradition. So, if we're Buddhist, then we seek out Buddhist monks and nuns and wise people in this regard, and we have conversations with them and converse on the Dharma. And this is in the Mangala Sutta. You can get an English translation of that. And the Buddha outlines all the different things that are the highest blessings for devas and humans. And so, learning to be generous is in there. And also, learning to talk on the Dhamma and listen to the Dhamma. And when we have this as a foundation, then naturally, it's like there's a switchboard. And previously, our tendencies were worldly. But as we start to have a generous heart, we start to turn the switches the other way and start to let go more, be more generous, be more thankful, have respect for the elders in the community and the elders in our spiritual traditions. And then from that, it builds a foundation for knowing what is right and wrong. And to begin with, we can focus on the good qualities of the beings around us. And be like as Ajahn Chah said, and as in the Dhammapada, be like a bee that only takes the nectar without damaging the petals. And so, when we have this attitude of not being angry and not pushing away anything in the world, we start to see that actually, you know, goodness is within our reign. That it's like riding a chariot. Somebody can be masterful, know how to ride the chariot, know how the chariot works, how the reins work, how the horses respond to certain impulses. And the same is with our lives. As we learn to have a right attitude, from that attitude, we know, oh, okay, we have to be soft with the present moment. If we're harsh, we can still do things, but we create difficulties for ourselves. And so the Buddha had four paths that he recommended, but the one which, you know, has a right attitude, that comes from the right place, that brings ease, comfort, and diligence and earnestness, that's the path the Buddha recommended, because it's the path where it's like we have devotion and inspiration for the Dhamma. And when there's devotion and inspiration there, you know, we'll tend to it. Like if you have a little plant that you're really looking after and you tend to it and put fertilizer on it and, you know, you make sure that it gets enough sunshine and you make sure that it doesn't get eaten by kangaroos like our Anagarika Amandas. And then slowly but surely the two plants will grow. And one is the overcoming of the unwholesome states, and learning to clean out the unwholesome states that have arisen. And the other is learning to develop wholesome states and then to make much of those that have developed. So it's nice to know about the right attitude, though, because it's the attitude to come back to the present moment, to have times where we reflect on our action and see what actions we did in the past, whether they were suitable or not, what actions we're doing in the present, whether they're suitable or not, and what actions we may do in the future, whether they're suitable or not. But that's a very directive thought process. So that's very different from sitting down to meditate or being in the present moment and the mind just straying all over the place. So a part of the right attitude, because you have the inspiration, then you can learn to allow the mind to gather and focus on the Eightfold Path, but mainly the four foundations of mindfulness, and mainly the first one, the development of mindfulness of the body. And that's really what we call meditation in this day and age, because it's usually breath meditation and sitting down and doing meditation. But it's actually the cultivation of mindfulness of the body, which is the foundation. And then within that, obviously, sometimes there will be some of the other groups of mindfulness, like reflecting on Dhamma, awareness of mental states, or like seeing bubble, seeing feelings as bubbles, sukha, dukkha, or asukha, adukkha, either happiness, suffering, or neither happiness or suffering. And so, but the mindfulness of the body is like the pillar that we tie the six senses to. And the eye group, the eye is a snake, and the snake wants to go off to the anthill. And the ear group is a crocodile, and the crocodile wants to go off to the water. And the nose group is a bird, the bird wants to go off to the sky. Tongue group is a hound, the hound wants to go to the village. Body group is a jackal. Jackal wants to go to the charnel ground where the corpses are. And then the mind is a monkey. The monkey wants to go off to a forest. And so rather than them being tied together and pulling each other wherever they want to go, the Buddha teaches us to tie them to a post. And that post is mindfulness of the body. And then the more we develop our meditation, the more we come back to this awareness, however we develop mindfulness of the body, whatever suits our temperament, then eventually the animals will just stand, either looking at their domain, standing or sitting, but they won't go off to their domain. And so that's when we start to give up elation and dejection at the six sense groups. And then that's when the mind starts to gather and become still. And then we can start to try to develop the unshakable stillnesses. And that's one of the ways of starting with the foundation in samadhi. So then that samadhi can become very powerful, and then the power can be used to develop wisdom. And but if we have right attitude, then we can be developing mindfulness throughout the day. And then because we develop it throughout the day, as Ajahn Chah said, then it's like when we sit down to meditate next, we've developed all the right causes. So then the mind will, you know, will practice in the right way and it will settle. And so that's the way to really practice if we really want to have peace, luminosity, and be able to see, let go of things, you know, see things as bubbles and mirages, and start to develop this contentment and fewness of desires, and start to see that, you know, the world has its uses, but the Dhamma has a much higher use. Developing the Dhamma in the heart is a refuge here and now that can be experienced, and it can be used as a boat to cross to the far shore. But we need to become strong in our practice first so the boat doesn't capsize and we have the strength to cross the waters. So we have to train in patience and gentleness. And hiriyotapa, which is like the sense of moral shame and conscience and sense of conscience of wrongdoing. So basically fear of the slightest fault in our virtue, because we can see the consequence, and then shame and a sense of regret when we do something wrong in order to teach ourselves not to do that again, but then we let go of it. And then we can perfect the sila, which is like the roof of the mind, and then our daily activities are like the ground of the mind, and then obviously we need the generosity and the thankfulness, and it comes together, which is the yoniso manisikara, where the mind gathers, and that's our means of meditation and mindfulness. And so all these things coming together, then we can have a good attitude. So I'll just leave these words and hope that you all have a good attitude through your days, and that we all develop respect for the elders. And chanting is a very good way, like chanting to the devas, the recollection of the devas, because the devas have the five wholesome qualities, so they're already excellent beings. They're beings who have practiced in the past, so they've been reborn in those states. And the recollections of the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, virtue, generosity, and devas is what the Buddha recommended for householders practicing for stream entering and stream entrance. So I highly recommend that you look them up. And I will just do a little 15-minute meditation. So there's different ways of meditating, and so it's about finding what's comfortable for you. So if you have a particular meditation that you would like to do instead, then just use the time to dwell comfortably in your own heart. And for everybody else, if you just settle in and either close your eyes, or you can also, if you find closing your eyes uncomfortable, you can look at a single point and relax on that point. But usually people's minds stray, so open eye meditation is good for a very restless person to begin with. But to develop deeper stillness, you need to learn to close the eyes. So first of all, we just bring up a good intention. Our hearts grow in gratitude and learning and wisdom. That our hearts grow in thankfulness and gratefulness. That we have respect for the elders and those wise beings in all directions. that we learn to settle here in the present moment with all those qualities that are good, and we learn to distinguish what is good and not good, and perfect sila, samadhi, and panya, virtuous behavior. The gathering of the mind in one's means for meditation, and panya, wisdom, the fruit, the highest dhamma that the Buddha wants us to develop. And so relax from the toes and the feet, the ankles, letting go of all tension. Relax the lower legs. Up through and to the hips. Relax all of the hips and everything below into the toes. Relax the belly, and just become aware of the belly, and suffuse the spiritual mind through the belly, and relax the belly deeply. Gathering, centering in the present. And then spiraling up the spine to where the heart is. And just opening out at the heart. Even though the physical heart is there, just imagine the spiritual heart, this place where one's attitudes and emotions stem from. And allow it to open as a flower opens to the morning sun. And just allow all the good qualities, the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, of that great seer across to the far shore through his own efforts, of the Dhamma, which is the wheel of truth that the Buddha put in motion that rolls down to the present, that is a reflection of the Buddha. And then the Sangha, all those beings practicing wisely on the path all the way up to the Arahats and those who have realized Parinibbana. And relax the shoulders and the whole torso. However, the shoulders can become comfortable. An attitude of complete peace, welcoming presence. And then the arms spiraling down to the elbows, spiraling down to the wrists, spiraling out to the fingertips, allowing the hands and fingertips to move into a comfortable position. And any last adjustments of the body, so it's as comfortable as possible. Allow the chest and heart to open out, to be in a comfortable but bright posture. Relax the neck and throat, all the way in. And the top of the spine going into the skull. The skull coming around to the eyes. The Blessed Lord said to relax the body, relax the eyes, and to not allow the mind to no longer flow after the asavas. Right here when you're relaxing the eyes, as we are relaxing the eyes. The eyes are like a symbol of either in spiritual darkness or the eyes of wisdom, luminous. Just allow the eyes to relax with luminosity. And we start to learn to see what is good, what is the path, free from doubt, free from questions so we can practice evenly. See the Brahmaviharas, see sense restraint, see relaxation. Relax all the muscles of the face and mouth and all through the body and eyes. The whole body, the whole kaya, completely at peace. And then all other form that's external from us, just to have contentment with things as they are. Contentment internally and contentment externally. And just to gather the mind into peace and contentment. The bright heart, the good attitude, relaxing the whole body and spiritual mind, relinquishing all concerns, like a bird flying off from a nest, leaving only the eggs of wisdom behind. I need to hold on to things, let them go, put them down. Just be with the goodness here in the present. And as everything begins to settle in this goodness, the very soft feeling of the breath that arises, a very natural way, one's just aware of the breath, of its softness, distinguishing an in-breath, distinguishing the out-breath. So it softly flows inwards. Sincerely just being with the softness of the breath. Whatever arises internally, externally, keeping with the softness of the breath. Everything else is just like that bird flying off from the nest. Don't need to follow after the bird. Just stay here with the nest, with the eggs of wisdom. have already been fully cultivated, about to hatch. Just stay here with the softness of the breath. The bright heart. Gathering into stillness and goodness. Aware of that very subtle breath. The forces of peace gathering into the breath, kindness, benevolence, tingly sensation, sense of joyful ease, enjoying just being with what is present. And as now we come to the last 45 seconds, just be grateful for the goodness, the opportunity of being with the softness of the breath, of this mindfulness or presence with the body, tying the six animals to the post with a good attitude, learning like a great charioteer, be skillful in meditation. Send this gratitude to ourselves, to all those joining in this meditation, and to all those on the earth, all human beings, that their hearts may be filled with goodness, truth, and kindness, that we may look at the good qualities in each and every being and wish them well, and have gratitude for the devas, for all the good that they've developed to become excellent beings. Gratitude to the elders and arahants for setting an example of the path to the far shore. And in closing, I'd just like to say, may you all have a good attitude and all enjoy the present moment with a kind and skillful heart. Sadhu, 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 to the Buddha, to the Dhamma, to the Sangha, to the training, and to developing the four Brahmaviharas. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.